Hi there, I'm Pastor Rod Parsley, and I sure want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. I'm the senior pastor of World Harvest Church, where we love God and love people, and I hope you'll be inspired by today's message. Now, for more great content and lots of updates, I'd love to connect with you online at rodparsley.com. But right now, let's head into today's episode. From the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, where racism and violence made headlines around the world, to the bullets that rained down on a concert crowd in Las Vegas, the hatred we see played out these days is confusing and frightening. These moments reveal to us that the heart of the human problem is in reality the problem of the human heart. As I sought the face of God regarding these tragedies, the Holy Spirit directed me to change my message on a Sunday morning, and then I kept expanding on that original word for several weeks. God spoke to me through Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which plainly says, to everything there's a season, time to every purpose under heaven, time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Now, these messages have literally exploded online and on social media. They've been seen by multiplied millions around the world. God's message truly struck a chord, and America knew it needed to be heard. Here's one installment of the four-part message series, From the Heart of God to the Hearts of His People, A Time to Speak.
Well, far be it from me to make trouble, you know. But apparently I said some things last week that either stirred people up one way or the other. And that's when I know that the Holy Ghost is hitting his mark. Amen. The prophet is weeping when the people are rejoicing. The prophet is rejoicing when the people are weeping. God, as ancient Samuel, stands in the middle. He stands neither on the far edge of the crispy right and their lunacy, nor on the far edge of the crispy left and their lunacy. You see, I intend, by the grace of God, to help move people to where God is. And you always find God in the middle betwixt two. He is Mahanaim. He is the God whose purpose is reconciliation. If his purpose is reconciliation, that presupposes that there are opposing sides. And it is God's intention, since Genesis chapter 1, to bring opposing sides together. Now look at someone this morning, wherever you are, especially here in the Tabernacles, our branch campuses, look at somebody who looks different than you and say to them, regardless of how strange you are, I used to say that and folks didn't want to say it. They were like, you know, there was a little bit of shamefacedness. There was a little bit of blushing. And folks were like, I don't know if I want to say that. So let's just try it again. Just look at somebody who doesn't look like you and say to them, regardless of how strange you are. You talk funny. I don't understand this. And besides that, your skin doesn't look like my skin. So for you and I to get along, keep talking, we're gonna have to overcome some stuff. Cause really, I don't know you. I just know how you look. Therefore, I choose my response to you to be how you look rather than who you are. Because I have been trained to hate. No child on their own ever learned hatred. And if it's in you, somebody somewhere trained you to hate. And if we say we have no sin, white folk, if we say we have no sin, black folk, we lie and we deceive ourselves. The news media have trained us to involve ourselves in conflict rather than reconciliation. They hammer us with scene, after picture, after picture, after story of somebody that looks different than us, treating folks that do look like us as they should not be treated. I did not see a single one of their cameras here today. Where is anybody reporting? Look how they love each other. Look how they worship together. Look how they bless each other. So this morning we will continue an attempt at reprogramming. To reprogram ourselves. To not use words of hate and bigotry, and to get off, please stop saying they all. I know of two black men that took a mentally disabled young man and tortured him in a room because he was white. My mistake would be to say that's how they all are. Or you might make the mistake of seeing white people so ashamed of themselves they have to cover their faces up with white hoods and say they're all like that. A rogue police officer is not all police officers. A young black man robbing the corner grocery store is not like all black young men. Stop, under God, the overgeneralization of people based on their appearance. Because you will be wrong 90% of the time. There is a better way. There is a more noble way. And that is to simply obey the Bible and refuse to know any person according to their flesh. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but as long as you're on this planet, you in a flesh suit. And far as I know, unless you're an exact twin, there ain't nobody that looks like you. Oh, shall we start next of those who have high foreheads or possibly low cheekbones, or what shall we hate next? I choose to believe that we have far less. Get ready to tweet, because this one's about to blow up. I truly believe we have far less a black and white issue and a whole lot more a right and wrong issue. Hate is wrong. Evil speaking is wrong. Generalizing is wrong. Gender identity politics is wrong. Race identity politics is wrong. I'm just going to stand here till somebody gets it. It's not about black people or white people. It's about what black people or white people do that is right and what black people or white people do that is wrong. And the basis of all wrong is sin. And if any of us say we are void of it, we are the worst of all. So let's talk about this just for a moment. It was Winston Churchill who said, if we open a battle between the present and the past, we will never possess our future. Why is everybody wanting to go back? We fought a civil war. Shall we? Do we have an appetite for another? To erase one's history is to erase one's heritage and the knowledge of the mistakes perpetrated in the past. Now, that went over big. I saw today they're destroying statues. Are you ready? Of Christopher Columbus. Who's next? Shall we relive the past, or shall we, as the Jewish people in Israel, in remembrance of the Holocaust, say we will never forget? They're not talking about just how they were mistreated. They're talking about that this may never, ever happen again. A people without a heritage are easily persuaded. So I would just like to parenthetically insert, for all those that would desire to erase history, which is an impossibility. I am a sinner saved by grace. And part of the problem with the Christian community these days is we have overdosed on the opiate of grace to the point that we refuse to remember who we were. Thank God, I remember where He brought me from. I remember where I could have been. For if I do not remember where I was, how can I rejoice in where I am? It was Karl Marx. I hope you've studied enough history to know who Karl Marx is. Okay. I guess we erased him too. And Joseph Stalin. And Adolf Hitler. If we only hear the voices of those who stand up in support of such heinous lunacy, then where is the voice of those who will resound, "I know the truth of who that man was"? I know people. My uncle gave his life on the sands of Iwo Jima, fighting to preserve us from the Nazis. That's what somebody needs to say. And quite frankly, how would it be if today I took my microphone and I stood in this pulpit on Monday afternoon at 2:00 and I shouted at the top of my lungs? Of what benefit would it be? Why? There would be no one here to hear me. So do we really need 5,000 people showing up to protest 20 mentally unstable people because they're standing up in their white robes shouting something at nobody? It might be better to ignore them. I was in Columbus, Ohio. I'd gone downtown for something, I don't know. And I like to go by the State House. And I went by the State House and I could hear, had my windows down, I could hear, you know, somebody with a bullhorn. And I looked around and there was a little old platform about that big. And they were standing out there. I don't know, there were 18 or 20 of them. Had their little children in their robes and so forth. And they're just, and there were like people walking by on the street and they'd stop for a minute, like, really? And go right on. Well, they didn't influence anybody. Sometimes we give adversaries too much airtime. It was Karl Marx who said, "A people without a heritage are the most easily persuaded." What is he saying? If we can erase and begin with the children, if we can take the children and erase their heritage and not let them know the truth of who they are and the truth of what their forefathers went through and the mistakes that they made and the victories that they had, then we can start with a blank slate and we can persuade them to believe anything. Am I speaking to you? Last week, after the insidious incident in Charlottesville, Virginia, on Saturday, August 12th, where a demonically deranged spirit of racism raised its ugly head in a 20-year-old man from up in Maumee, Ohio, who drove his automobile into a crowd of people and took the life of Heather Heyer. She was 32 years of age, injuring many others. Also, two Virginia State Troopers who were in their helicopter trying to keep the peace and watch over the crowd lost their lives in that helicopter crash. And I shared a message last week, God apprehending me, and the thing blew up. And so I thought, well, if I made that much of a stir, I must have struck a chord. So I thought I'd get my banjo out and strum again. I feel an urgency. I feel an anointing. I feel a quickening that people are listening, and they're listening to the only truth that can make them free. So today I will continue, and hopefully I will conclude the remarks that I began last week. So buckle in. Few today recognize the names of Cyril Evans and Jack Phillips. Anyone? Cyril Evans and Jack Phillips. I can tell who's read my book. Cyril Evans and Jack Phillips are two men that played very key and vital roles in one of the most tragically iconic events of the 20th century. Evans was only 20 years of age on April 14th, 1912, as he carried out his telegraph operator duties on the SS Californian. At 10:20 p.m. on their voyage from Liverpool to Boston, the captain ordered a full stop. Everybody just reach out and shout, full stop.
Full stop.
I need you to do it again. Full stop. The young people like to say, well, I was dating so-and-so. I don't even know if they use the word dating anymore, but I was dating so-and-so, but I took a hard right. What does that mean? You left them behind. Now get ready, everybody, shout, full stop. Would you just look at your neighbor and say, would you just stop? Would you just stop with the rhetoric? Would you just stop with repeating like a parrot what somebody said on some news station? Would you stop acting like some Hollywood entertainer that makes their living pretending to be someone they're not, to be your exclusive news agency? I don't care what Beyonce said. I don't know how much trust you can put in someone that says, well, if you want it, you better put a ring on it. Looks like you'd have had one. No. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. And here's what it says. This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second, like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Look at them again and say, regardless of how strange you are, something in me that's bigger than me can't help but love you. I'm trying not to, because you look different, and you talk different, and you sound different, and you worship a little bit different, and you're not from where I'm from, but there's something that just won't let me hate you. I'm about to preach a little bit. So here's this guy, and he's on the USS California, or the SS California, 10:20 p.m., and his captain says, his captain orders, full stop. You know, at some point, you just need to stop. Take a Valium. Chill. You're adding to the volume that continues to perpetrate the hate. Just stop. Just stop. Let your yay be a yay. If I hear one more person say, well, this is what I think about it, And what's worse, get on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, a tin can on a cord running to your neighbor's house. Man, stuff that starts off on a Twitter feed as a feather ends up a chicken when it comes back around. Come on now. His captain ordered a full stop right in the middle of calm water. In the middle of the North Atlantic, the ship had just entered a massive ice field. It contained gigantic icebergs three times larger than this building. The order was full stop, wait. I have an issue. Don't act so surprised. I don't like to wait, and neither see everybody say, go ahead. No, everybody's saying, go ahead. No, everybody is saying that. I'm not saying anything. I'm just... But because of the cadence and the repetitive nature and the up and down volume of my voice and a sentence that has yet to have punctuation at the end of it, you're already anxious because no one likes to wait. What a discipline! I learned it for a year and a half while my voice was mute. And during that year and a half, I can tell you that half of what I would have said, could I have said it, I would have wished I hadn't said it after I said it. Don't look at me with your halo so crooked on your horns. This thing needs a throttle. Full stop. We don't want to wait. How many politicians, how many news agencies? Well, this was this, and that was that, and this is the way it is, and we have it from very good sources, and the next day, you find out that nothing they said was true. Oh, this voluminous rush to judgment about everything. Somebody took one comment that I made last Sunday and wrote a book off of it. So I simply asked, did you listen to the whole sermon? No, but I heard you. Well, it's a good thing we don't always do that. You know? Baptist preacher was preaching one Sunday morning, and his text was, bring me John's head on a silver charger. And that new bride, incensed over her new husband's critique of her morning breakfast meal, prepared with such love and care for him, his name happened to be John. So when she got home, John made another statement. His new little bride grabbed that gleaming butcher knife and said, "The preacher said to bring him your head on a silver charger. It's a joke. Bring me John's head on a silver charger." That's what happens when you go off ahead of yourself. How do you know it's true? I saw it on the internet. I saw 42 green men from outer space on the internet last week. I was driving down the road yesterday and something got my attention. It was a 12-foot statue. Very lifelike. In a country, on a country road, out by the barn. It was a 12-foot sculpting of Bigfoot. What am I trying to tell you? Wait. Wait. Make sure that you know what you're talking about. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And in between the time, just give glory to God. So they brought the SS California at 10:20 to a full stop. The captain said, "We're going to stay right here." The captain then directed Evans to warn all nearby ships of the extreme danger. Evans did as he was directed, alerting everyone within the sound of his wireless radio signal of the grave danger and peril that lie ahead of them in the still waters of the ocean. Approximately 7 miles off the starboard side of the California, the lights of a brand new luxury ocean liner on its maiden voyage, the RMS Titanic, were just visible on the horizon. Inside the Titanic's telegraph room, Chief Wireless Operator Jack Phillips was frantically working to catch up on a backlog of messages. The Titanic carried the wealthiest, carried the athletes, carried the entertainers, carried the politicians on its major voyage. They were headed to New York, certainly. All of them needed to send messages concerning their arrival on this gorgeous, beautiful, luxury ship. Those messages were very, very important. At least it seemed so at the time. Tired and absolutely convinced of the superior importance of his work, Phillips found himself annoyed by Evans' sudden, repetitive, loud warnings screaming into his headset. The response, Phillips tapped back angrily, was simply this: "Shut up!" Shut up! I'm busy. Sometimes we're too busy and talking too much about nothing to actually hear the ringing, liberating, freeing sound of truth. Finding his initial warnings summarily rejected, Cyril Evans was faced with a very difficult, momentous decision. He could persist his warnings and continue to enrage the Titanic's wireless operator, or he could shrug his shoulders and sheepishly comply with the demand that he fall silent, thus allowing the Titanic to churn onward into a watery hell. I suspect you already know the choice that he made. An hour and 15 minutes later, Titanic struck a major iceberg. 2 hours and 40 minutes after that, the massive, seemingly invincible ship slipped beneath the dark, icy surface, ushering more than 1,500 people into eternity. Back in 2005, my conscience, my love for this nation, obedience to the Holy Spirit, compelled me to broadcast an urgent warning to our nation in the form of a book. Here it is. It was called Silent No More. In it, I cautioned our culture and the church that we were steaming headlong into catastrophe. I warned the dire cost of sitting mute, sitting passively on the sidelines without raising our collective voices in outrage. I am profoundly saddened to report that the urgent alarms that I shouted so aggressively went largely unheeded. Oh, there have been a few little glimmers of light in the deepening darkness. Nevertheless, as I survey the 8 key zones of peril for our nation that I highlighted in the book Silent No More, it's clear to me that our national ship steams forward ever faster into certain chaos and catastrophe. In response to voices of warning like mine, America's popular culture and Christians who embrace it with their backs to the cross of Christ and the call of the kingdom have echoed Jack Phillips' enraged rebuke. Parsley, shut up! We love our hate. We love our, I have a right. Look at your neighbor and say this to them. My rights end where yours begin. What is the outcome of hate? Death. It stalks our neighborhoods. It's at the country club over sips of Dom Perignon in silver shallots and in backyard barbecues with red plastic cups and Budweiser. The hate is fueled. How much hate is just enough? Well, I hate you because. If that's true, then that means I can only love you if. I don't like you because means I can only like you if. There is no because, and there is no if. There is only pure, unadulterated, selfless, self-sacrificing love. What would Jesus do? They beat him, but they spat upon him, but they ridiculed him, but they mocked him. Oh, I can trump you. They savagely, in a way indescribable, murdered and tortured him. And he did not look at them and say, I forgive you if. I think I'm finished. He did not love me because. He did not forgive me if. He did not love me when. Except when I was vile. And when I was ugly. And when I deserved to be the one suffering and sighing and crying and bleeding and wheezing on that cross. It was my sin. It was my guilt. It was my hatred and my bigotry and my anger and my rage and my lying. And he took it. And I refuse, as much as the Holy Spirit will give me help, I refuse to take it back from him. I refuse hate. I reject the notion that I should love you if. I reject the notion that I will forgive you when. And let me just stab this religious little lie in the heart while I'm at it. Forgiveness does not take time. Well, I'll get over it. You've got such an inflated opinion of yourself that you reserve the right to hold bitterness and unforgiveness for some more time? How much time? How long will it take you to get over your big fine self? Empathy must return. Look at somebody next to you right now that doesn't look like you. Find somebody that doesn't look like you. It's not hard. Find somebody that doesn't look like you and say, I do not understand in any way what it is like to be you. Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.